How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I am back from New Orleans. We were there live for WrestleMania week, and obviously here on Wrestling Observer Live today, 2 hours talking all of the fallout of the show, and there was a lot of fallout. Arguably the most exciting weekend in professional wrestling since the boom period, unfortunately being capped off at the end of the week by the death of the Ultimate Warrior. Just a few days after being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, just a day after a final appearance on Raw, we're going to talk about the death of the Ultimate Warrior, his legacy. Raw tomorrow is going to be all about the Ultimate Warrior, so we'll talk about that. And of course, all of the news, there is a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. His name is Daniel Bryan. We're going to talk about all of the matches on WrestleMania. We'll review the show, talk about everything that went down last week, including all of the other shows that took place over the weekend. I went to the Ring of Honor show. There were Dragon Gate shows. There was a Shimmer show, a number of wrestling shows. I went to Shimmer, so I throw that out there. And we'll talk about that and everything else as well. Plus, I was there at Raw on Monday night. Some people called it one of the best Raws that they have ever seen. So we're going to talk about that. Where does everything go with Daniel Bryan? What are we doing leading into Extreme Rules? Are we actually going to see a War Games match coming up in WWE, as has been rumored? We're going to talk about all of that, plus take your phone calls in about 20 minutes. The place to go for all the phone numbers and such is WrestlingObserver.com. The number will be 855-478-4478. Don't call yet. In about 20 minutes, we'll open up those phone lines. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the show, Mike Sempervivi, and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about this week. It was WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania 30, the biggest show of the year. Probably the most exciting weekend in pro wrestling since the height of the boom era. Punctuated at the end of the week by the untimely death of the Ultimate Warrior, collapsing outside a hotel near his home. He was walking his wife to the car and passed away. And Mike, how are you holding up after a long week?
Doing pretty well, and I figure if you're still standing after being down there in the middle of all that nonsense in New Orleans, which is a great, incredible party town when nothing is going on, let alone a three-day event where there's so much going on in WrestleMania, if you can still be standing, then I have nothing to complain about.
I can't be stopped, let me tell you. Now, obviously, we got a million things to talk about. We've got a recap of WrestleMania. I didn't even mention in the opening monologue that the streak has been broken by, of all people, Brock Lesnar. Undertaker losing at WrestleMania, likely retiring, but we don't know yet. So we're going to start, however, with the life and death of the Ultimate Warrior. Did you get a chance to see the Hall of Fame and Raw this week?
I most certainly did. Yes, I did. In fact, I don't know if I said it last week, and this is just one cool thing about the WWE Network. I was actually driving back from the western part of Virginia back to Delaware where I live, and on the way back, even though it wasn't the best audio, in fact, the best video in the world, the audio still came in clearly, so we listened to the first part of the Hall of Fame with Jake Roberts and with Lita actually in the car on the way home. And then we got in the house and flipped it on the network. And that was pretty much when the time for the Ultimate Warrior was to come out. And just really, a sad and very tragic, because it was, I didn't know what to expect, with the Ultimate Warrior. We've seen, his manifestos, I guess one would say, online, and he's done college appearances, doing tours, speaking to colleges, and there was one very infamous one that took place. And, you know, who knew? You know, obviously he still had a lot of bad feelings when it came to that DVD that they put out. And it was going to be interesting to really see what he was going to say and would it be crazy in the whole nine yards. But, you know, when he came out with his daughters, I was sitting there with my wife watching it, and it was just like, I'm sitting there and I didn't say anything to her. She wouldn't know, but it was like, well, this is kind of humanizing. You know, I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't expect him to bring his daughters out there. And he was, you know, so nice in talking about WWE, about, you know, didn't daddy say this was going to be cool? And they were sitting there right in the front row. And, you know, then goes and gives a, you know, a big speech where he gave a lot of receipts back to the WWE and lots of other people out there who have criticized him. But, you know, I felt really good for him, and I felt really good for WWE, because even though they probably weren't still on the best terms in the whole wide world, even though they didn't trust each other 100%, it was nice to see after all this time, you know, that old thing about, you know, still being able to make business and putting things to the side. And then in the days after, it seemed to be a lot more personal even than just doing business, where there's been so many things, you know, so nice said about the Ultimate Warrior by so many people inside WWE, and, you know, hearing about all the wrestlers that, you know, grew up with him and wanted to take pictures with him and, you know, shake his hand and the whole nine yards. It was a really, you know, WrestleMania was a big weekend, but this was the sub story of the Warrior coming out of this in so many ways. I thought, it really was really, really amazing, and just a, you know, very tragic that he died. But it was, and again, I don't want to trivialize it by saying it was fairy tale-ish, but it was almost, as the Ultimate Warrior might ramble in a promo, it was otherworldly. And in a way, it really, really was. It really was something else.
Now, when I watched the Hall of Fame, and then I went to Raw on Monday, and we don't, We're still waiting more on the cause of death. All they announced was it was a catastrophic medical emergency, I believe is how they described it. TMZ said that he clutched his chest, fell down. Obviously, everybody is presuming a heart attack as a result of that, but we don't know yet what exactly happened. But I was not the only one. This is not like I had some sort of premonition. But I do remember at the Hall of Fame, I thought that he's sweating an awful lot, and, you know, I've seen people sweat during speeches before. I mean, you get nervous, you sweat, that's one thing, but he was sweating an awful lot. And then on Monday, he came down to the ring, and he just kind of walked down to the ring. I was actually, honest to God, expecting that he was going to come out at WrestleMania when they made his big the big announcement of his name for the Hall of Fame. I expected him to come out in full Ultimate Warrior regalia, run down to the ring, shake them ropes, and just be a crazy man for a few minutes. But he didn't. He just came out in a suit. I thought maybe they'd do it on Raw, but they didn't. So he came out, and he got on the apron, and in what was actually an unplanned moment, at least to the degree that none of the wrestlers knew this was going to happen, he got up on the apron and he shook them ropes, and everybody went nuts. And he stepped into the ring and was huffing and puffing, and he's breathing really heavy. And I think it's because I always remember back to when Eddie Guerrero died. And of course, after his heart gave out, you know, they interviewed a lot of different guys that had worked with him. And a lot of those guys mentioned that, man, he would get tired. He would get so tired in the matches, he'd just be breathing so hard. And obviously it was because his heart was so stressed and it was getting ready to go. So I remember on Raw, it's not like I thought that he was going to have a heart attack at any time, but I do remember watching him on Raw at the Hall of Fame and just going, man, I don't know, it just doesn't look right. And I was not the only one, as noted. I mean, several people have noticed this. Did you watch him at either show and just think that, I don't know about this, he doesn't look at his healthiest?
When it came to the Hall of Fame with, you know, the one more match chance, it's like, you know, you look at him, it's like, no, you know, because the last time that I remember really seeing him outside like a headshot here or there was the when he came back against Orlando Jordan. They did that thing in Spain, and he looked different. I mean, he still looked like a big guy, but he looked like now a bigger, older guy. And there was nothing in that speech that said to me that he would even come out to do one little thing. And then definitely on Monday, he was bright red. He was bright beet red. He came out, he did shake them ropes. And, you know, I'm not saying he got winded doing that, but he just, he looked like he was winded and short of breath. And even though he cut that promo and everything, I'm not saying that he looked like, you know, hey, he was going to pass away a day later, but he did. He looked like he was, you know, again, bright red and like the blood pressure was up. And, you know, just in, you know, obviously at the time you're just thinking, well, he's, you know, back on TV. He's an older guy. He hasn't done this in years. I mean, this whole weekend has got to be somewhat, I don't know if overwhelming, but it's got to be somewhat humbling for him in a lot of ways. You know, when it comes to the fans and, you know, the guys that still remember him and good feelings in the whole nine yards. So, you know, like you said, there was no premonition of it or anything like that, but it was, you know, obvious that, you know, even at that moment, there was not going to be one more match out of Ultimate Warrior no matter what.
So tomorrow is Raw, and it is going to be, in some ways, an Ultimate Warrior tribute show. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I know that Vince and Hunter have shot something. I was told, everyone be ready to shed a tear. That was how it was described to me. I guess we shall see, but tomorrow they are going to celebrate his career. I know on the WWE Network over the last several days they've aired a lot of they had a Warrior tribute of sorts on a couple of days ago. They essentially showed WrestleMania 6 again with his match with Hulk Hogan, and they showed some clips from the Hall of Fame. This was all on the live stream, and it was kind of. Man, it was interesting to watch back that WrestleMania 6 when I was a kid. That match was huge. And watching it back, still not a bad match. Not the best match in the world or anything like that, but a perfectly acceptable big-time championship main event. And in fact, we had Chael Sonnen on our show the other day of UFC, and he flat-out declared that the biggest match in WrestleMania history was not, in fact, the WrestleMania 3 match with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, but instead, it was definitely Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. We're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to call in. 855-478-4478 is the number. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. We'll be taking your phone calls for the next 2 hours. And while we wait for the calls, Mike, what were your thoughts overall on WrestleMania? Did it deliver?
I thought it delivered and then some. It really was, with all the aesthetics, when you throw in all the Gaga and the video packages, the music videos, you know, the opening package, just the whole nine yards as far as paying for an event. It was something else. I thought it was really awesome. And I know you had different perspective being there, but just watching from home, you know, for the most part, everything, you know, delivered the, you know, matches that you didn't expect to be much. Like Undertaker and Brock Lesnar obviously had the big surprise at the end. The Divas, you know, that could have been a complete disaster area, but they, you know, it was less than 7 minutes long and it wasn't offensive in any way at all. I mean, there was nothing awful on the show by no means. And then some things were just all time classic great. Like the Daniel Bryan story, first of all, his match against Triple H standalone is, you know, 4.5 stars. You know, there's probably a kid watching this that's they might point to this as a legendary night for them, especially if they're a big Daniel Bryan fan, because you had that. And then it's bookended with, you know, again, the match wasn't technically as great, but the story it told with Scott Armstrong coming back, being dragged out by there by Triple H and Stephanie, and just everything that went with that. It was really, really a fantastic professional wrestling show. It really was. That was a great sports entertainment to me.
All right. To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's up?
This has been a very strange, both good and bad week for me personally and for, I guess, the wrestling world in a lot of ways. Think back to about, say, 10 days ago, and you think about, well, what are the stories going to be about Monday, Tuesday and stuff. You think Daniel Bryan, you think maybe Cesaro breaking, a lot of stuff, and then it all gets shadowed by The Undertaker losing, which devastated me at that moment. And then, of course, Ultimate Warrior passing away, which that It's just been a shocking week for everybody, which I think, if you look back to all the audio shows last week, nothing that happened this week would even be close to expected.
So Undertaker losing devastated you. What does this mean?
Well, the moment that I was watching on the network, my friend, we were, I'd say, about an hour behind because he was late, so I paused it. And when the three count hit, literally when the three count hit, that moment for about 10 seconds, I really 100% believed I was dreaming. Like, okay, I must have fallen asleep. I must be dreaming. This isn't real. And only when my girlfriend's daughter came in the room to say, hey, you're being too loud, because I screamed like, oh, my God, or something like that really loud, that I realized I wasn't dreaming. And for like a couple of days, I don't know. This was something to me that was one of the biggest deals in wrestling, just like everybody else. And then when it was over, you couldn't believe it. It was total shock. And I was like devastated for a couple of days, as dorky as it may sound. And then as I was starting to say, okay, you know, this is reality, just, you know, move on eventually. And then Ultimate Warrior passes away. And it's just like I went on, you know, F4W to confirm it. And it was just right back to that somberness. And, you know, the rest of the week has nothing to do with wrestling for me, but I got in a fight with my girlfriend, and my cat died yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was a fun weekend. And one thing I think people aren't mentioning as much is, you know, I paused it after the Undertaker match was over and left the room and didn't know if I wanted to finish watching, but when I continued
watching... You were going to storm out of your own house.
No, I was just going to turn it off because I was so angry. But I put it back on, and then once the title match came on, and it was a very good match, and I think, you know, Brian, you were in the crowd, you could say that the crowd really got back into the show after that. So, I don't know, it's been a rough week for me, both personally and as a wrestling dork, as my girlfriend calls. And but at the very least, it's an exciting time for wrestling fans, aside from the passing of Warrior, God rest his soul.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, and I hope you have a much better week. A lot of people, hey, there were people storming out of the building when The Undertaker lost. We're going to go to a call here in a second, but I want to alert everybody that if you've got the WWE Network on right now on the live stream, it is the interview with The Shield that took place on Main Event that everybody was raving about. So if you've not had a chance to see it, go click on the network right now. It is in the middle of airing. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Memphis, Tennessee, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I got a couple questions for you, Brian. One is about the past WrestleMania with the Undertaker match. You stated in your recap last week that the Louisiana Wrestling Commission or the commission was cracking down on the tombstones at Shimmer match and other matches at the WrestleMania.
Yes.
Did they have any flack with it coming to the WWE when The Undertaker did his two tombstones or anything like that?
Well, it's WrestleMania and it's WWE, so I would guess that if there were any sort of fines levied, WWE was just like, all right, we'll pay the fine. That's normally how things work with WWE.
All right. That's my first question. My second question was this. The Sting deal, that is the Sting deal, right? Is it how long is the term for the Sting deal? Is it 1 year, one match? Is he going to be a part-timer, or does he have like a, does he have like a little creative control or anything like that?
Right now, I don't even believe Sting has actually signed the contract. The contract has been sent to Sting. Sting just has to sign it and return it. Everybody is considering that it's a done deal, but pen to paper I don't think has actually occurred as of this exact moment. I would presume it's just like a, I would presume it is a glorified Legends deal. The Legends deals, I'm sure he's making a lot more than what your traditional individual in a Legends deal makes, but I would guess he's going to do one match. It's probably going to be WrestleMania 31 in Santa Clara, and that's likely it. So I think that's the extent of Sting's in-ring. I mean, maybe he'll blow people away. I don't know. Maybe he'll have a few matches. But right now, I think the plan is just to have one match. It'll be a Mania match. And probably won't even debut on TV for probably a few months.
Is this an ego thing for Vince McMahon, this Sting acquisition? You understand what I mean by that.
Yeah, it's not an ego thing. It's just like the circumstances worked out. It's not like Sting was doing anything really in TNA. I mean, he was, but I mean, it was...
No, he really wasn't doing nothing in TNA.
Well,
Think about the way that he ended in TNA, and I do watch TNA at my job.
Sure. But I mean, the point is, he was a big star in TNA, but what does it mean to be a big star in TNA? Not a lot. So the opportunity came for him to make a deal with WWE. He's going to get to do this before he goes out. They've got Sting. They can obviously, you know, use him for all sorts of things on the network. So it's a win-win for everybody. I don't think it's an ego thing on any side.
Yeah, because unlike a lot of guys, Sting, I'm not saying he can do it for perpetuity or anything like that, but Sting merchandise and face paint and things like that will be able to sell with him for a long, long time. And he's been one of the voices you haven't heard on cut-ins, on DVDs and documentaries and things like that, which now you're going to be able to. So
I wonder if he signs his deal this weekend, if they could actually, I don't know, he would be a great guy to say some words about Ultimate Warrior. And you'd kind of be throwing away his big debut, and you don't really want to use a death to get over a big debut. You know what I mean? They're kind of in a weird spot. I mean, I really think you should be out there talking about Warrior if they do a tribute show on Monday. But at the same time, Sting's first ever WWE appearance on an actual WWE telecast, not counting the simulcast of Raw and Nitro when he wrestled Ric Flair in the main event, but like his first actual ever WWE appearance. You kind of want to do something big with it, but it's a weird situation here.
Yeah, it really is, and it's, you know, it's something to think about, too, because he started off with the Ultimate Warrior as part of that Power Team USA thing before going to Memphis and then Mid-South later on. The Angel of Death, Dave Sheldon, who wrestled as the Russian Assassin and many other things, but he was the Angel of Death. Pretty cool character at the time in the UWF before he moved on to WCW and actually had his career ended by PN News, of all people, botching up a move, but both he and the Ultimate Warrior now passed away, and I'm not sure who any of the other guys were in that group, but I'm actually going to look that up here in a minute, because there's another thing that's, you know, I don't know if I'd want to ask Sting to do that just under those circumstances and everything else. I think I definitely would want to hear his thoughts, but to wait for something that appears on the network much later on, I think I would much rather do that than have him on and do a rush thing and getting Raw emotion on this coming Monday.
That is the story of Warrior, everybody. As noted, tomorrow on Raw, they are going to do some sort of tribute show. And we really haven't talked a lot about the Undertaker's streak, the end of the streak, aside from poor Sammy having an emotional breakdown as a result of him losing. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. And also, we got to talk about Daniel Bryan. He is the new champion. If you guys have not seen it yet, I want to alert you right now, since somebody had asked about it on Twitter here. If you have the WWE Network, you need to go onto the network and you need to scroll down and find the Daniel Bryan Journey to WrestleMania documentary. They had the cameras following him around. It's actually amazing the turnaround time they had for this documentary. They had the cameras following him all weekend and all the way through his win at WrestleMania. And then in about 24 hours, they put it all together into a documentary, and it is 60 minutes, and it's airing on the WWE Network, and it is awesome. There's a little bit of kayfabe, there's a little bit of kind of a little goofiness, but overall, one of the best documentaries they've created in a long, long time. So you should check it out on the WWE Network. We'll talk more about that after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. We're on the cable radio network as well. And, of course, for all of the news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Man, if you were a subscriber last week, what a lucky week it was for you. We did so much stuff on the website between gigantic Wrestling Observer newsletters, Figure Four Weekly as well, covering the death of the Warrior, WrestleMania, tons of news and notes from the weekend. I did a bunch of audio shows myself. We do radio shows every single day. If you are listening to this live and you only hear it once per week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows, usually at least two shows every single day. They are available for download. You can stream them through the site. You can put your password in and grab them off iTunes. All sorts of different ways to get the audio. We've, of course, got the live 24/7 streaming F4W Live option which of course will be on later on tonight. So I got two more shows coming up tonight. I've got a Wrestling Observer Radio and a Brian and Vinny show. All of these available on demand for subscribers the very next day. It's only $10.99 a month, as low as $9.99 a month. Same price as the WWE Network if you sign up for a year, and you will not regret it. Great compliment to the WWE Network. In fact, tonight, for those of you at the network, we're going to be talking about the road to WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan. We'll be talking about NXT, talk about Ring of Honor and Total Divas as well. All of those talked about and reviewed on the show tonight. It's going to be a great time, only for subscribers. So sign up right now at WrestlingObserver.com. You will not regret it. I want to thank everybody listening who is a subscriber. We have thrashed our old subscriber record as of this weekend. So all is well, and I want to thank you all for that. Let's head back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Matt from Syracuse, New York. How are you?
What's up, Matt?
I just wanted to point out something about the whole Nancy Grace thing. She posted the entire list of wrestlers that had died, and there are a lot of names like Joey Morella, Eddie Guerrero, Junkyard Dog, that really have no drug related incidents at all. And I just I want to get your opinion on that, and how the media likes to use these names as I don't want to say propaganda, but along those lines. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. The answer is that she's an idiot. I don't know what better way to explain it, but I've been on Nancy Grace, and obviously she's got a story that she wants to tell, and they hope that you'll go along with it, and if you don't, you don't. But yeah, her list of wrestlers who died, claiming that Owen Hart died as a result of steroid use. I mean, it's idiotic. The one thing I got to say, and then I'll let Mike speak here, is that this whole hashtag cancel Nancy Grace or whatever that wrestling fans got started, you're best served spending your energy elsewhere, because these online petitions never work. You're not going to get the show canceled. There are plenty of other ways to voice your displeasure. Go ahead and voice your displeasure, but don't actually think that anything related to this hashtag is actually going to get Nancy Grace bumped off the air. The best you can do is just ignore her and don't watch.
That's it. It's sensationalist, journalism at its, lowest. It's, the mock outrage of actually, it's just the whole shtick. I mean, the rhyming lawyer after the Benoit. I mean, this is a double murder where a child died. Chris Benoit flips and, goes crazy, and they have a lawyer rhyming about putting the doc under lock. It's like, can you just trivialize this anymore? And that's, I was never a watcher of her anyway, but I wanted to see you on there and all that stuff. But after that, it was just like, I can't watch this with the fact. And then on top of it, all the factual errors, all the BS, it's a rushed put together thing to get an hour's worth of sensationalistic, nonsense out there. And the best thing you can do is not watch. If you do want to protest, there's no Twitter with the hashtag. All that's doing is giving it publicity. You pick up the phone, you call, you're respectful, you put it down, but you can't expect anything to change. But that would go much further than basically the free publicity that a lot of people were essentially drumming up for, when it absolutely, I mean, this was a superfluous, this show never needed to happen. And what came out of it was, absolutely nothing. So, it, again, just a big waste of time.
All right. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
Okay. A couple things. Were you surprised that AJ won at WrestleMania and then lost on Raw the next night?
Not really. I mean, they had a lot of big things. I mean, you could have done it at WrestleMania, but you had the big Daniel Bryan title win. You had the Undertaker streak being broken. You got to have something for the biggest Raw of the year. So I thought it was fine doing it the next night.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I like Paige a whole lot. I like Brittany Knight when she was in Indy. She's a real good worker wrestler. Now, I found out some good news for me and you, and hopefully Mike, too. They have got Mexican wrestling back on cable now. You can watch World Wrestling Council on Comcast, WPAA America, and you can
WAPA,
watch
WAPA.
Yeah, WAPA. I guess that's what you call it, which is really good. I really was impressed with the Colon's promotion. I guess the Colon's do run it right.
Yes. Yep. Are you watching it, Mike?
Actually, when I cut the cord, I ended up losing that stuff.
Oh, so that's
the only
right.
thing I get
yeah,
now
yeah.
is Azteca America. But when I did watch it, they did air the show on Saturdays and Sundays. It was the same show. They used different cut-ins, obviously, for the shows that took place in Bayamón on Saturday night. They'd have different commercials the next day cut in there. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the Cologne still run it. There was still Invader. There was still Savio Vega as TNT. There was a lot of those older guys, as well as who was the guy, Big Andy from Tough Enough, is down there,
yeah.
as well as a handful of other guys people would know.
And I like that the MX channel has the CMLL Guerrero's show.
Yep, Guerrero's Del Ring, Terra.mx.
Yeah, you know what I was trying to figure out? You know, they carry the Guerrero's show. Well, isn't that kind of like the CMLL has their number one show, and then like the Guerrero show, is that kind of like SmackDown?
I don't know if they have a number one, number two show. I think that may be the only show that you can even check out at this point that's not online.
All right. Well, y'all have a good evening there.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. If anybody is following Lucha that knows better, let me know. But I think that's the only real, at least for sure in the U.S., as far as they're not on Galavision anymore, the best I can recall. So
I think they have, I think they have some sort of show that was going to debut or will be debuting on Azteca, I guess. But I don't know. I have no idea what these shows are, to be honest with you. It's amazing that, you know, it seems to be a lot of wrestling on TV from Mexico in a lot of ways, but so much of it is reruns and so much of it is CMLL.
All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave?
I guess I'd first like to say that I give a WrestleMania thumbs up, and then I've got two non-WWE related questions.
All right.
Last night, Pacquiao Bradley 2 took place. I'm just curious if we'll finally get to see Mayweather versus Pacquiao, because that's really the only thing in boxing that I'm actually curious about. And then secondly, if you have any updates on what's next for Prince Devitt, that's all I got. So I'll let you guys answer those questions. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Go ahead, Mike.
You're not going to see Mayweather and Pacquiao. What you're going to see, and this isn't a bad thing, it really isn't a bad thing.
Why are we not seeing Mayweather-Pacquiao?
Why we're not going to see it?
Yeah.
Well, for all the same reasons. One, it's not even as close to it still would make a lot of money, but this thing should have happened 5 years ago. The fact that we're 5 years removed from it now, and it just... again, not to say it wouldn't make money, but these two teams are not going to work with each other, and it's not going to happen. What you are going to see is probably Manny Pacquiao, Juan Manuel Marquez 5, which I know for somebody going, Jesus, they're doing this 5 times. All 4 fights have been worth it so far, and that's something I actually at this point would rather watch that than watch Mayweather-Pacquiao, because I just think at this point Mayweather would beat Pacquiao again. 5 years ago, this would have been more, you know, enticing, but all this time has gone by and they don't want to work with each other anyway. I'll take Pacquiao Marquez. When it comes to Prince Devitt, who that was one of the big stories or bigger stories from WrestleMania weekend internationally. Prince Devitt lost to Ryusuke Taguchi in New Japan, his former tag team partner, who he's gotten the best of for quite some time now, loses to him. And the next day turns in his resignation to New Japan, which means he is coming to the States, it looks like. It's a matter of whether he ends up in WWE or TNA. There's been, you know, mixed things that he has signed a WWE deal, that he has not signed it. The TNA thinks that they're very close to getting him to sign on. There's other people who say that's not really the case. Who knows? But the odds are you're going to see him, you know, wrestling in Florida here at some point. It's just whether it's for Impact or whether it's for WWE. In my opinion, it's a no-brainer for him to at least try WWE. He could always go to TNA afterwards. He'd be a big
probably
fish
get
in
a better deal afterwards if he went to WWE first.
It's possible. Yeah, it really is. And he'd be a big fish in a small pond there. He'd be great there because Prince Devitt is just great. So he's going to be great anywhere. But when you look at the creative right now in Impact, I would rather him roll the dice, go to NXT for a little while, have some awesome matches with Pac, have some awesome matches with some other guys on there, teach him some things, have probably a great one with Yoshitatsu that'll make the hardcore wrestling fans that watch NXT, that'll really, you know, give them, you know, a huge moment of ecstasy watching something like that, and then up on the main roster, because whether he's, you know, there's been talk if he signs with WWE, they're going to send him down there, but it won't be for long. I don't know whether that's true or not, but he really, realistically, if they have even the slightest plan for him, I think they can give him the ball on WWE and he's going to be completely comfortable. I could be completely wrong about this, but watching him for so long now, I actually believe in him 100% actually being up on the main roster relatively quickly, especially when you consider you got guys like Adam Rose and things like that up there.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Josh calling from Ferndale, Michigan.
Josh, what's up?
I was calling because if I've seen these guys on Raw a couple times. I was just wondering if they're washed-out wrestlers or who they were. But the two rent-a-cops during the Yes Movement, the bald guys, I've seen them a bunch just like kind of, you know, like when the Shield comes in, I've seen them a couple times. And I was wondering, you know, it doesn't seem like they're event, you know, people because they're at different arenas. I was wondering if they're, you know, old wrestlers or who they were, if you had any ideas.
I will see if I can find out during the break. The two rent-a-cops from the Yes Movement.
Well, like the you know, the bald security guard, Stephanie, was like, get him out of there.
I and see. Then, yeah. I mean, I'll try and find out. My guess is they're just dudes that work backstage, because during that Yes Movement segment, I mean, everybody from guys that worked in public relations to the girl in catering. I mean, they had a ton of different WWE employees out there doing the Yes Chance Dress as fans. So, there are plenty of employees involved in that. So I'll try and find out who those two guys were during the break here.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much for the call. By the way, my guess is Devitt goes to WWE. I know that TNA was very nice. I know that they made a play for him, but very unlikely in my opinion that he would go to TNA first. It's noted, if you go to WWE and you're in WWE developmental, even if you never get called up to television, and I think he would be on NXT almost immediately, but even if he never made it to the main roster, he would still greatly increase his own value to the company just by going to WWE first, as being for up his value in TNA. So I expect him to give WWE a shot, and if things don't work out, he can always... You can always head to WWE. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We've been talking WrestleMania weekend, the death of Ultimate Warrior, taking your phone calls, which we will continue to do in hour two. Before we head to the top of the hour break, Mike, did you watch any of the other shows on demand over WrestleMania weekend? Any of the Dragon Gate shows, for example, Shimmer, or anything like that?
No, I had the great battle plan to do so, though. It was going to be tough for me. I wasn't going to be able to watch them live, but I had planned to do it on Monday and Tuesday. And then, you know, we end up doing the shows late at night, and it's like, okay, I'll throw it off by a day. And then the Ultimate Warrior news broke. And I got to be honest, it came to be Thursday, and I caught the end of Impact, so I saw that. But to be honest, I was completely burned out. I didn't even watch Pacquiao and Bradley live last
what?
Night. I just figured, you know what, I'm going to have some downtime leading into this week.
Wow, you didn't even watch that fight, huh?
Nope, didn't even do that. My first dip back into the pool again will be Lucha on Terra.mx.
Well, there you go, everybody. I expected Mike would have been all over that, but apparently not. Did you watch UFC?
I didn't know. I did not.
I did not
even watch that. I had no interest in it. One, it threw me off that, you know, I got the alert on my phone on Friday. I had completely forgot about the show. I ended up seeing... you know, the knockout itself from Roy Nelson on Nogueira, but it's amazing. All those years that Nogueira had of never being, that was the thing. You could never knock him out, and now he's been knocked out five straight times, I think.
To the break. Be back at the top of the hour. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have got a lot to talk about, including WrestleMania. We're going to be running down all the results of the show. We'll talk more about the Hall of Fame, Raw, and a lot more here on the program. We've been talking about it for an hour. Had a bunch of people call in. The phone lines will be open after the next commercial break, 855-478 4478. We'll talk about all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as well. And Mike, did you think there was any chance in the world that The Undertaker would be pinned at WrestleMania?
No.
No chance in the whole world.
Well, there was, of course, a chance. And, you know, if you think about it in hindsight, in a lot of ways, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I was just really surprised. And I hate to say it, after the shock wore off, one of the first initial things I thought of was poor Sting. You know, because it looks like this is probably going to be it for The Undertaker, at least as far as WrestleMania goes, because the magic's gone. And as cool as it was, you know, again, the magic's kind of gone now.
Were you shocked when it occurred? Did you storm out of the room in tears?
I didn't. I was, you know, kind of slack-jawed there for a second. It just, how it was filmed from further back, the hesitation on the three count, there was a lot of, man, what just happened there? And then it really sunk in that, wow, this actually happened. And it was, you know, again, it was really cool. And on a show where that was the one thing that you could expect was going to happen, didn't happen.
We're going to talk more about the end of the streak when we come back from the break. We're going to talk about all the major matches on the show as well. John Cena and Bray Wyatt, the Daniel Bryan Triple H, and three-way match in the main event, and so much more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208 and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here talking WrestleMania 30. If you want to give us a call, give us your thoughts on anything that happened over the past week, you are welcome to do so. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. We'll take calls on and off over the next hour. Twitter, you can follow us, hashtag F4WLive, or follow me at Brian Alvarez. Be monitoring Twitter throughout the show as well. And let's jump to the phones very quickly. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Sean. I'm calling from Texas.
Sean, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Glad you're on the air, by the way. Gives us a little bit of a variety of wrestling shows. I've got like a two-part question for you. What are the odds that Sting shows up within the near future in WWE? And when is AJ Styles going to come back to TNA or WWE or a name brand show?
A name brand show. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You can listen off the air. The answer on Sting is that he should be in soon. He's in the middle of trying to get his contract figured out with WWE. They've offered him a deal. He's agreed to the deal. He just has to sign it and return it, and he will be in. What that means as far as when he'll debut is anybody's guess. Latest I've heard is it could be a while. Not really a rush to bring him in. They've got a million things going on. No need really to have him at this point. Got plenty of stuff happening. And as far as AJ Styles is now signed 1-year deal, if I recall correctly, with New Japan Pro Wrestling. He has replaced Prince Devitt in the Bullet Club. And he will not be returning to TNA anytime soon. He will not be showing up in WWE anytime soon. But I do expect to see a lot of great matches with AJ Styles in New Japan.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to work at all on the ROH weekends. I can't remember if that's going to happen, but you can at least see him on iPay-per-view where when it goes to most of New Japan's matches, and you know, I would say just stay tuned to The Observer if you don't want to risk your money on a show you've never seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is available through Ustream, but you can take it from me on this. Odds are his matches there are going to be worth going out of your way to see. He's going to be a member of the top heel faction, the Bullet Club, with guys like Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson and Tama Tonga and your boy, Brian Alvarez, the underboss, Bad Luck Fale. So he's going to be part of the top group. He's going to have IWGP title matches and the whole nine yards. So this is good for AJ Styles, at least creatively. I'm sure the money is pretty good for him too. But as far as being a pro wrestler and what got him in and working, you know, different styles and not just being stuck in TNA creatively, this ought to be great for him.
Was Undertaker match with Brock Lesnar as boring on television as appeared to be live?
I don't think so. I mean, it was, you know, the problem was, and I was one of those people, Brock hits him with the first F5. I didn't pop either. When he hit him with the second one, didn't pop. When he hit him with the third one, I didn't pop because you kind of were just waiting. I think that was the whole thing, was nobody was hyping it up going into it. The build hasn't been the best. It's, you know, Brock Lesnar, if you have followed his whole run there and you're one of those fans, you just, there was nothing to get you into him, you know, merely making the person at home believe that he was going to be the guy that knocked off The Undertaker, which they threw a complete curveball at everyone. And obviously at the end, you know, what happened happened. And this is going to be one of those matches. Nobody's going to remember however long this went, 15 minutes, whatever it was. Nobody's ever really going to remember what happened there. No spectacular dive, no this, no that, no the other. It's just going to be the very end of that match and what came out of it and The Undertaker laying there. That's what the whole thing is going to end up being. So, you know, it was, the match was a means to the end in hindsight, and I don't think anyone can really complain about that. You know, it wasn't the most exciting, but it was a means to get to the end, and I thought the end was one hell of a curveball.
All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from? Caller hung up. So much for that. So let's go through the card here. What did you think about how they did the Daniel Bryan Triple H and then Daniel Bryan Randy Orton Batista duo of matches? I thought they did it pretty much exactly as they should have. Everything we expected, except I was not expecting Daniel Bryan to submit Batista. I thought that he would submit Randy Orton. I have no idea why they chose Batista, but they did. What are your thoughts on those two matches?
I actually thought that's what they would do. I thought he'd either pin or tap Batista out. It just seemed to make more sense to me. And they kind of did it on Raw the next night. I mean, with Batista saying, actually, he may have done it before. I can't remember if he did it before or after. But he complained to Triple H about the fact that, hey, man, I came back in here for a one-on-one contest. So, you know, you have Randy Orton there as well, too, saying, you know, I'm not the one who got pinned. So I didn't think everything was going to be tied up with a tight, you know, a tidy little bow and Brian would be moving on to face, you know, Jack Swagger or somebody like that. I figured this was going to continue on in some form with Evolution in some way with Triple H and Orton and Batista all wanting the title. And it just seemed to me to make the most sense that he beats Batista. He doesn't even beat the champion, which, again, if you wanted to bring that up and give yourself some more storyline, I kind of thought that's the direction they were going to go with it.
All right, let's try this phone line again. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Richard from Montreal.
Richard, what's up?
Doing good. I have a question for Mike.
Go for it.
Is his book coming out soon on the history of pay-per-view?
It's I'm still working on it. It is a seems to be a never-ending project, but I'm hoping, you know, I've been back into it heavy now in the last couple of months. It's just got to get out there, a couple more interviews, at least a lot of the numbers and the you know, passages and some of the things I'm doing, a lot of that stuff's already done. It's just going out there and being able to talk to some more people. And, you know, there's no timetable on it, thankfully for me. So, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
Awesome. I'm really going to be looking forward to it. That's a great subject. Must have been a massive undertaking.
It really has been, and it's been one of those things. I don't even know exactly how it got to the point that it did. If I recall correctly, I was just trying to do some compare and contrast for a lot of UFC fans that had, you know, they said we'd never be boxing, we wouldn't be this, we wouldn't have B shows, and lots of things like that. And I was just pulling up numbers to try to kind of, when I was writing a piece, to kind of not blow it back in their face or anything, but just to say that, you know, these are things that will logically probably happen because the UFC is extending its footprint on TV and digitally and things like that. And it just kind of went from there and became this, you know, big massive undertaking of how pay-per-view even started, what you can go back to. And it's just pretty amazing. And, you know, the one amazing part about moving pictures, whether it's, you know, putting, you know, nickels into a Nickelodeon to watch film way back in the day, or whether it was the advent of TV or cable TV or satellite or pay-per-view, and now leading into, you know, watching things digitally online, professional wrestling and boxing and ring sports, because you only needed one camera and because it was so easy to film, has always been at the forefront of those things. I mean, yes, there would be pay-per-view because there was porn, so people wanted to watch that, but pay-per-view wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for professional wrestling and if it wasn't for boxing. How it would be, we have no idea, because when they tried movies, they tried films and operas and everything else, and nothing really caught on. But what separated people from their money has been, you know, canvas matted sports, where people are paying to watch two other people, you know, punch each other in the face half naked. For whatever that is that sinks into people, and that conflict that makes people separate from their money, you know, if it wasn't for these ring sports, we probably wouldn't have TV and cable and satellite and everything else in the exact same way that we do now.
Wow, thank you. And I have another quick question. Which one, both of you, were your favorite Warrior match? Mine is the Mania 7 fight. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Mania 7 was the retirement match with Savage, if I recall correctly, and I think that probably... Listen, as a kid, Mania 6 was the best ever. I guess I was only a year older for Mania 7. But I think Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage may have been the Ultimate Warrior's best ever match. We'll get Mike's thoughts when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we got a lot of stuff to get into, as always, here today. Been taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478, as well as your Twitter comments, hashtag F4WLive. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. And Larry here on Twitter notes that the Izod Center website is listing John Cena, Bray Wyatt in an Extreme Rules match at their next special event, which, by the way, is the new name for pay-per-view. They are now Special Event. And by the way, Mike, may as well finish that pay-per-view book now that pay-per-views are done.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's in WWE, again, WWE and even the UFC, even though I didn't see the show, I'm sure a lot of people did, because the UFC numbers for their .TV Fight Pass service are at least pretty good. You know, at least they have that going for them. In WWE, the numbers aren't as great as they'd like them to be. But still, you know, almost 700,000 people is, if you think about it, just about where they really should be. I know they had expectations of doing much more, but I think universally to almost every single one of those 700,000 people, I don't think anyone can complain. I mean, obviously you got WrestleMania for essentially $9.99. You have gotten some incredible programming. Yes, you've gotten a lot of slanted stuff towards certain people, but you have to, that's just the way it is. It's going to be when it comes to WWE. I mean, it's always been that way. They will change the story, and because they're the victor, they're going to get all the spoils out of it. Whether that spoils the story or not doesn't really matter to them, as long as they're telling their tale. But if you look past that, that Daniel Bryan documentary that they did that had a little bit of kayfabe to it, and like you mentioned before, was absolutely awesome. You know, the fact that you're able to get all of these things on demand, and some of the program that they're doing with This Week and some of the other stuff, it really has been worth the money. So even though the numbers have not been as great, this, you know, again, the UFC and WWE helping to be on the forefront of making, you know, successful, you know, television in their form. Obviously, it's been that way for sports with things like Center Ice and the Major League Baseball package and things like that. But, you know, Netflix isn't doing, you know, fantastic right now. Hulu is obviously running lots of different promotions and things like that because they want more people on board. It's not doing what they'd like it to do. So I think when you take all of those things into account, what WWE is doing is still pretty damn impressive.
By the way, before we go into Bray Wyatt and John Cena here, as we run down the Mania card, what did you think when you learned, I don't know if you've seen it yet, that Eric Young won two matches in one night on Impact this Thursday, went into the main event with a long beard and a shoulder injury, and then shockingly won the World Heavyweight title at the end of the show?
I saw the end of that battle royal, and I thought, no, this was still going to be Abyss and Magnus. and it wasn't. And it's Eric Young, and everybody likes Eric Young, and Eric Young works hard and stuff like that. And he's been very entertaining and trying to make the best out of bad spots. But it just is, I mean, when you say all of those things and you have to shake your head. One of the things that TNA has always been accused of being has been too much of a cheap imitation. They don't focus upon the things that they do different well enough, and they tend to slip back into trying to do schlocky things, and they try to copy things, and they can put whatever spin they want on it. I don't know if this was a Christy Hemme decision. I know she's joined the creative team, or how this works with Dave Lagana or Big John or whoever it is that is making these decisions, but I don't know how you could do that. Big John, I mean, I don't know. Again, what he did to deserve, and I don't know. I'm asking this actually honestly. What did he do to deserve the position? Was he just the only guy left? I mean, how does this work? And again,
did he deserve it? Are you talking to Eric Young? He had a beard.
No, I'm talking about Big John's
Daniel Bryan.
I'm talking about Big John's position to make a move.
Oh, he was in WWE.
Just not in creative, though. And it doesn't matter.
He was in WWE.
Apparently that's all you need, and because all you need to do is really watch WWE programming and just copy it with a pale imitation. And that's, you know, again, not an insult against Eric Young, but when they were coming up with this, it wasn't meant to be a mockery because it wasn't funny. I don't know what it was meant to be, but it just comes across as a cheap ripoff of what WWE was doing, and you didn't even give it time to settle. You just schlepped the whole thing and took it. So it's TNA Impact is what it is. And again, Prince Devitt, I'll roll my dice with NXT.
By the way, we've got Maddie here who notes that there was a man dressed as the Ultimate Warrior running the London Marathon today, complete with a blonde wig, face paint, tassels, and trunks. He was interviewed and he mentioned Warrior's passing and how this was a tribute. So there you go. A lot of tributes. Do I have a photograph of him? I unfortunately do not. Actually, Dazza here is mentioning this as well. So apparently this was hard to miss. There you go. On the subject of the Warrior, tomorrow, as noted, is a Raw Warrior tribute show. And they're also going to have a second Warrior tribute show on Wednesday, which is going to be all new, and they're going to be doing some interviews. They're going to be taped at Raw. So that's this coming Wednesday on the WWE Network. And I should also note that on the TV show Best Week Ever on VH1, Daniel Bryan got the award for having the best week ever this week. So there you go.
I'm sure it was a pretty damn good week for him. And also my wife watched E! Talk Soup or The Soup or whatever it is called now, where they had the Bellas on and Dolph Ziggler and a handful of other people. And she said that was very entertaining as well.
Are you going to watch Total Divas tonight?
Yes, I am. Although I found out something about being a Comcast customer and being able to get lucky enough to watch still a lot of programming off a lot of these cable channels. Can't put it to the big screen with that. No air playing when it comes to this stuff. So I've got to watch small screen.
You can't airplay it?
No, that's one of the blocks that they have, I guess.
How can you not airplay? You can airplay anything.
I'm telling you, it does not let you airplay. The sound will come out of there, but it's got the big block that, no, this programming cannot be airplayed.
Wow. Well, if anybody knows a workaround, at Semper Vivi.
Come on, Comcast.
Not that you should look for a workaround. What did you think of Bray Wyatt and John Cena? He didn't win. Bray Wyatt did not win.
Hey, John Cena is not going to go anywhere because he can't. You know, in their world, they most certainly cannot absolutely go anywhere. But, you know, he was downplayed in that match. I mean, obviously, they did the whole thing where he was fighting against himself. And, you know, Wyatt just kept giving him the chance to hit him with a chair and things like that. And I thought it came across exactly the way it should have. And I think, you know, with Cena being downplayed on Monday night, I think this is the best you can do for him right now. And I think Bray Wyatt should beat him at this Extreme Rules match where Cena can have the excuse of using these weapons and things like that. It can also give you an out for any small Cena fans who you don't want to offend, but you've got options there too. But I think this is he doesn't look to me in the next upcoming bunch of months here until we get some weird ratings reports coming back or something like that. He's not going to be in the top mix of the top three matches on any show. And I think this is probably really good. So I know a lot of people are upset that he won, but judging by the fact that The Undertaker was going to lose, I think you had the perfect excuse to, make the Cena fans happy and to make the impressionable fans happy with a Cena win at WrestleMania, even though I wouldn't have done it.
You know what else is coming up in just a couple of days here, Mr. Sempervivi?
I hope it's got something to do with Maximo and Marco Corleone, who were just earlier on my TV.
WWE Legends House.
Oh, my.
Wednesday.
I don't think I can watch it.
What do you
I
mean
guess
you
I'll
can't
watch
it?
I guess you're going to have to.
What do you mean you can't watch it? Of course you can watch it.
Well, I could. I guess, yes, in theory, I could actually watch it, but I don't think I just don't think I will.
I set up the WWE Network for my grandmother just so that she could watch Legends House with the other elderly people.
Will this cut into time of them watching Judd shows or anything like that?
I don't know what she watches on television, but she's going to start reviewing Total Divas on our program on Thursday night, so you can all look forward to that. She's all set up and ready to go.
Elderly abuse.
What are you talking about? The show's going to be awesome.
I
it was elderly
don't know
abuse for the poor guys involved with it.
Well, I mean, it's not like Total Divas is, Academy Award winning stuff, and they at least got that picked up. Legends House has been in the can for 2 years now.
All right, this guy says, turn on AirPlay mirroring. It should work with anything. You just mirror what is on your computer screen and then blow it up. That should work. Should work.
I hope it does.
Mike's
busy.
Especially
to watch Total Divas tonight.
Yeah, you want to watch that on the big screen, not the little screen. Come on now. All right, we've got to talk about the rest of this Mania card here. Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, we talked about that. AJ retaining the Divas title over all the Divas. We talked about that with Jim. Were you surprised?
I thought the ending really, if that would have came off, that really should have come off better. I wish it would have, and I understand they were debuting Paige, which makes sense to do what they did. But Naomi, whatever got screwed up there, and then, what happened on, obviously they were leading to Monday night with Paige that did not work out according to plan either. Again, I guess not a surprise. I'm surprised they called Paige up, which makes sense that she lost the title. I expected her to lose it. I just didn't know to who.
And, of course, the following night, Paige coming up from NXT to win the title. We'll talk about that after the break. Plus, greatest match all time, all my life, at least for about 10 minutes. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Back in just a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Observer.com, we are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. If you're listening to this on a replay, don't forget, next Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, we will be back live. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, as well as those listening on the Cable Radio Network. If you want more, if you do not get enough hearing one Wrestling Observer live every week, man, you're missing out if you don't subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows. At least 2 shows most every day. I got 2 more coming tonight, so it'll be 3 shows, 4 full hours of radio. And the other 2 hours available on demand only for subscribers starting tomorrow. And, of course, all of our shows end up in our on-demand library. We have over 5,000 shows in the library available for subscribers. Every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. And, of course, every show we do jumps into those archives as well. You can wake up in the morning, download everything, and off you go to work. Listen to the shows in the car, wherever you listen to your audio. It's all available for you as a subscriber, WrestlingObserver.com. It's $10.99 a month. That's it, $10.99 a month. And, in fact, if you sign up for a long-term subscription, it is as low as $9.99 a month. And obviously, with WrestleMania in the books, we've got tons of content that you can go in and access right now, seconds after you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. We're talking WrestleMania, taking your phone calls as well, 855-478-4478. We're going to talk the Andre Battle Royal in just a moment. But first to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt from Phoenix.
Matt, what's up?
Hey, my question is about Wade Barrett. We saw his in-ring debut this week. I don't think that he has wrestled since he's got the Bad News Barrett gimmick. And I'm just wondering, what's going on? Why is he being pushed so hard again? It seems like it's like the third or fourth time they've tried to repackage him since he debuted back in 2010, and it's taken forever to get Cesaro a push. So, you know, who's has the thing for him up there?
I don't know. I mean, they've been. I had been told he was going to debut for a while, but he didn't. You know, things change on a daily basis there. But I do know that they were in. It was a Raw after WrestleMania, and there was a very, very strong international crowd there, as there is the day after WrestleMania every year. And so my guess is that the feeling was, if we bring Wade Barrett out here with all of these folks from Europe, they're going to go absolutely nuts for this guy, and they did. Which I think is also part of the reason they put the women's title on Paige same night, just to take advantage of all of the international viewers who were there live at the event. So I'm sure they're going to do something with him. I don't know what. They got a lot of guys right now. It'd be too bad if he got lost in the shuffle. But I guess we just got to wait and see. And things change kind of on a daily basis anyway. So by Monday they could forget him about him again.
Hey, if you think about it, they knew every bit of his motions. The crowd knew to yell out for the ball hammer, or whatever he calls it, you know, bull hammer elbow that he throws. They pop for that, and then he's on a couple days later. I mean, once everybody leaves town and it's just, you know, back to the normal touring crowd again, not so much. So I guess it's to be seen what they actually do with him. Hopefully this is not a stop and start thing, just because they need new bodies anyway. You see that they're bringing some people up, and they're going to be making some moves. Ezekiel Jackson's contract lapsed and they didn't renew that, and they're bringing up Adam Rose, they're bringing up Bo Dallas, and they're shaking some things up a little bit. But they still need, you know, big dudes who are, you know, believable in that they can, you know, kick your ass. And Wade Barrett has that. And the fact that they've damaged him so much, the fact that they've damaged Big E Langston, I mean, those U.S. and Intercontinental titles are truly, you know, kryptonite for a upcoming professional wrestler, because they put them on him and they have absolutely no idea what to do with them. They did the same thing with Antonio Cesaro. Remember, he was yodeling. I know that wasn't all that long ago. You know, his match with John Cena, where, okay, we've turned the corner now with Antonio Cesaro. No, maybe not. So as excited as I am for this, who knows? The addition of Paul Heyman is a really nice touch. And, you know, back when we were little kids and you had Kamala and King Kong Bundy going at each other, and it was one of the few times where you had a heel versus a heel, but you had two managers, you know, even better, mouthing off with each other, whether it be, you know, whoever it was at the time, Iaka and Bobby Heenan going at it. Now, in this case, Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter. This, again, I don't want this to go on forever or anything like that, because I'd like to see Claudio in some new things, but it puts a nice twist onto the Swagger Cesaro thing if they go out for it for at least a month, which they'll have to do to get to Extreme Rules.
So what did you think of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? I thought it was a home run.
It was awesome. You know, not as memorable to me as like WrestleMania 2 or 4 or the Legends Battle Royal at 17 or whatever pay-per-view that was. That was awesome too. But this was pretty awesome. And it was, you know, when it started to get down there, you started wondering, because of what happened in the pre-show with Antonio Cesaro. It looked like he had a really good chance of winning it. And how they ended up doing it was really awesome. I mean, they've been playing up the fact that the Big Show is, you know, just dominating everybody and wrecking shop and winning these things, and it's almost like his birthright because he's going to be the new Andre. How they played up that K-Fabulous story, and they put it to bed with a really cool one with Cesaro, who just turned into a good guy earlier on in the night, you know, using his incredible strength that, you know, that he has and they've hyped up since he's been there. And he scoops up Andre, or sorry, he scoops up Big Show and dumps him out of the ring. Not exactly like Hogan did with Andre, but kind of giving you that sort of flashback on WrestleMania 30, just a guy doing something incredible that, you know, and everybody wondered, you know, if you'd see it or not. And then you saw it and it popped the crowd. Everybody went nuts. And this is good for Antonio Cesaro. And picking up Paul Heyman on Raw Monday night was even better.
Well, far be it from me to question putting him with Paul Heyman, because obviously I think Paul Heyman can make anybody except
right
Curtis,
Axel.
Except Curtis Axel, yeah. But he turned babyface at WrestleMania And then he turned big time babyface later on at WrestleMania. And then the very next night, he was a big babyface on Raw, but he is aligned with a big time heel named Paul Heyman, who, by the way, was hated when he came out. And then he proceeded to cut like the greatest promo of all time. And then, of course, at the end of the show, they cheered Cesaro and Heyman because Heyman was so awesome. But at the SmackDown tapings, I was told that the reaction that Cesaro got was less, I don't want to say less than adequate, but it was not what people were expecting from Cesaro. And sometimes that happens when you turn a guy too quick. They turned him babyface and they turned him right back heel. What are fans supposed to think? Well, now they don't know what to think. And it didn't get a great reaction. It'll take time to figure out if this was a mistake. But I do question the idea of turning him babyface and then putting him right with Paul Heyman and back heel again.
I understand what you're saying. I'm big on at least there being one Gary Hart type of group, you know, or one Devastation Incorporated type of group. That's bad. More like Gary Hart's sort of guys where he doesn't have to be a good guy or a bad guy. He can face both. Same thing with Brock Lesnar where, you know, you don't need a whole lot of gray to me in this era of professional wrestling, but if you should have a little bit of it, and they should be the gray area. You either cheer him or you don't cheer him. And I think it doesn't hurt him all that badly, I don't think, being with Paul Heyman, although I didn't have a chance to see, you know, hear the crowd on SmackDown yet or anything like that. But I don't think it kills him because Brock Lesnar's not going to be around all that much. Paul Heyman, people love his mouth. So even if they, you know, love to boo him, as soon as the match begins, people will still get into Claudio because of what he can bring to the table and the fact that he can turn people during a match. I mean, that's been proven. So if he's given the time, he can do it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think they should kind of in some ways be little islands. I don't think you should, you know, have Claudio be the biggest, dirtiest, nastiest heel in the world or anything like that. In fact, I think they should keep him more to the nice side because, you know, a battle down the line between Brock Lesnar and Antonio Cesaro, that could actually be really good. So, I mean, it leaves the door open for that. So, again, maybe I'm completely out to lunch on this, but I think time will kind of tell where I don't think, even though he's with Paul Heyman, that he's going to be perceived as, you know, this dirty of a guy or even as much maligned as Brock Lesnar is.
As noted, Paul Heyman's promo I just thought was unbelievable. I watched it live and was just in awe, just an absolute awe. And I mentioned I was not a proponent of ending the streak at all. But if you're going to end the streak, you better have a great interview the next day. And I cannot imagine anybody anywhere in the world, anybody who would have done a better post-streak breaking promo than the one that Paul Heyman did on Raw. It's perfect. It was a masterpiece. And it almost made, to me, breaking the streak worth it. I still don't think they should have done it, particularly the way that they did. Wrong guy, wrong time. I don't know. I didn't leave crying like some fans did. I know some of you have been hearing this for the last 2 hours and think I'm just making this up. I'm not. People left. They left the dome weeping, shouting and kicking garbage cans.
I thought you were making it up.
I wasn't making it up. It's a fact. In fact, if you've gone online, you probably have seen other reports of people reporting the same thing. This is real. Wasn't like thousands of them, but it happened. And there you go. So that's the story of Undertaker.
Do you think all of those people bet on WrestleMania?
This was not a money issue. This was a passion
issue.
This was just, oh my God. You know, just people that didn't think it should ever be broken. And then when it was broken by Brock, they couldn't believe it. Or maybe they lost a lot of money. I don't know.
You can't get it back. So
what did your son think of Mania?
Oh, he liked it. He was, you know, the fact he got to stay up late and, you know, he was off school the next day anyway. So he had a blast watching it. So it just, you know, he believe it or not, as much as, you know, he has the John Cena gear, as much as all kids, they like John Cena. I'll say this. He was taken a little bit aback by the crab walk from the Exorcist that Bray Wyatt did. That freaked him out a little bit, but Kofi made his night with, you know, saving himself in the Battle Royal, which, you know, was absolutely awesome. Give big kick out of Daniel Bryan because, again, I don't, you know, it's the Daniel Bryan is seems to be easy for a lot of people from across different demographics to relate to. Not in the way of a Stone Cold Steve Austin or Rock or anything like that, but, you know, as they talked about in the documentary, you know, he does have something, and my son likes him as well, so he was happy to see that ending. So, all in all, a good night if you were a 6-year-old WWE fan.
What was his favorite match?
You know what? It was honestly, it was probably the Battle Royal. I got to ask him during break, but I think it was probably the Battle Royal because of Kofi, because he really likes Cesaro. He got a Cesaro U.S. champion holding the flag toy for Christmas, or whatever they call them now, action figure for Christmas. So he's jacked up and likes Cesaro. So he liked that. He likes the Big Show. So he was involved there at the end. There was a big shiny trophy. So, you know, how can you hate that if you're a kid? So, again, I'm thinking it's that, but I'll find out for sure.
I was just watching the highlights of WrestleMania 5 right there on the Video Vault on the WWE Network. And what a show WrestleMania 5 was. Ultimate Warrior getting pinned by Rick Rude, the Randy Savage Hulk Hogan match. They just showed highlights, but
Same day's Rage and Cajun Clash. I watched that while my brother watched WrestleMania upstairs.
He saw what?
The Clash of the Champions. Flair
oh,
Steamboat.
Yes, yes, yes. The Rage and Cajun. I think they did they show that yesterday?
I don't know if they did or not. I mean, it's a great little fun show to watch.
I forget where I saw that, but I just saw it like a couple of days ago.
I hope the Clashes are coming. That would actually be great for the network.
I want that in primetime wrestling just to relive my childhood. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday live at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also, if you missed any of this show, it replays on the Sports Byline Radio Network every Monday morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. So head up there and check it out on the Sports Byline Radio Network. Now, Mike, you quizzed your child. He should have known better. What was his favorite match at WrestleMania?
I really should have known better. I was really thrown off by the fact he loved that move from Kofi and he likes to draw his logo everywhere and all that stuff. But no, his favorite match was John Cena and Bray Wyatt. And when I asked him why, because John Cena won.
Because John Cena won. How sweet.
Same thing, I guess, for you back in the day or for anyone back in the day with Hogan to the Warrior or Flair or whatever. As long as your dude wins, you're happy.
I should note, Daniel on Twitter very quickly says, did you hear Jack Swagger won the Intercontinental title? Jack Swagger did not win the Intercontinental title. They did a deal at the house show where he won the belt, but they did a restart and Big E Langston retained. So Big E Langston, still the Intercontinental champion, at least as of the time that we are doing this show live. Who knows if that could change?
Perhaps
tonight as well. All right, we're going to wrap it up, everybody. If you miss any of the show, check out the replay tomorrow on Sports Byline USA, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. We're also up at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a bunch of shows coming up tonight. It's going to be a fun night. Myself and Dave Meltzer, The Brian and Vinny Show, and more. Check it out only for subscribers, WrestlingObserver.com. Don't miss out on the fun. Thanks, everybody, at Sports Byline. Thanks, Mike, as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.